Of sacrifice. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. Oh, Mareba Shakata. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you've already started moving in our midst. Lord, oh God, you've already started the work, oh God, of grace that you have ordained. Oh God, to accomplish this month. For this is the first month. And in this first month, you have great things in store for us. Oh, we give you praise, Father. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise for the extraordinary things that you have on your mind. We give you praise, Father. In the name of Jesus. Abba, Father, we give you praise. Be exalted in our worship. Speak to us tonight. Help us, O God, to come into true understanding. That your name may be exalted forever. Amen and amen. Oh, my Lord. Precious Jesus, our Savior, Holy Spirit, we wait on you, Holy Spirit, we wait on you, Holy Spirit. On your fire, wait on your fire, Lord. We wait on your fire, Lord. We wait on your fire. We wait on your fire. Thank you, Lord. Fire of the living God. Consume from our lives everything that does not belong. Fire of the Holy Spirit, cause us to be ignited with grace to live life to the full. Blessed be your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Tada Bosheke de Bere Bosheke de Baka. Ye de Balad was so called a Barada. Just use your prayer language. Just use your prayer language. Just talk to the Lord. God is doing something. Maradaba sheke telebre sokote baladaba. Ye matoso fore barika tadavashi katore malaka. Hane bari balaga baba bashaka tadaba. Re baba baba shaka tadi balatoso ko. Re balado so te prese ke te te bara. Pre matoso kade re barako tovo kote. Shande matu pre matala basha. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Oh, we give you praise, we give you praise, we give you praise. You are God and you reign forever. You are God and you reign forever. You are God and you reign forever. We honor you, we worship you, we adore you. We bless your magnificent name. Oh, ignite us, Father, with the presence of your glory, with your awesomeness. That our lives, O God, may be a testament to God of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Blessed be your holy name. Abba, Father, we give you praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord has already started the special meetings that we have, and that's supposed to start tomorrow. The anointing for what he wants to do is right here, right now. God is waiting for his praise, and he's going to release very special graces. Now I declare today in the name of Jesus Christ that nothing will steal or switch off what God has for you. That you will not be deceived in any way, shape, or form. Hallelujah. But you will step into your end time destiny. For God is raising up a people by his Spirit for a greater purpose. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I just want to bless you right now in the mighty name of Jesus and encourage you to present yourself a living sacrifice unto God, so that you'll be able to prove that which is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He's a faithful God. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. And he will do right by his people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. If you're listening online, I want to strongly encourage you to present yourself. You see, the fire of God comes upon the sacrifice. The two things that the fire of God comes upon. Fire of God is supposed to come on the senses of prayer, and where you get the coals or the fire from for those senses that become representations of your prayer unto God, it is gotten from the altar where the sacrifices are made. Not from anywhere else. Any fire that does not come from the place where sacrifice is made in the sight of God is called strange fire. And there were two young men that brought strange fire from somewhere else, not from the altar of sacrifice, and they were stricken dead. Pow! And God is calling us to that place where his fire is going to fall upon us. He says, present yourself as living sacrifices unto God. Because that's where the fire is going to come. And as you present yourself as a living sacrifice unto God and say, God, my life does not belong to me, it belongs to you. The fire of God is going to come upon your life. you are going to be ignited. I'm going to be ignited. I am going to be on fire. And I tell you what, when you're on fire, you don't need to invite people to come do anything. They're just going to rush to come see who's burning. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The action is going to be where you are, because you are a lamp unto God. Thank you, Father. We give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so very much. Bless you. Tonight, I want to share from a particular passage of scripture that is quite interesting. In a sense, I don't know how to put this. I might say this is a passage of scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ indulged himself in some kind of sarcasm. He became sarcastic in this particular passage. And if you didn't get the message, you get confused. But God is very consistent. He is. You know, the Word of God says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. He says here, moreover, it is required in stewards, that a man be found faithful. That's what's required. God requires faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful. He says, I require that of you, that you be found faithful, committed, positioned to live for God. Amen? I am dressed a little bit like a Filipina today. Praise the Lord. And, you know, the Lord says, you know, sometimes the Lord says, I want you to wear this. And that was what it was. He says, I want you to wear this today. So I said, oh, it's not really like my Filipino shirts, but it looks close to it. I have quite a few of them. He says, that's what I want you to wear. And I'm so glad to see my Filipino saints in the house today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sister Rosella, you too. Amen. Well, God has his ways. He says, I require this of you. As its steward, you should be faithful. Amen? Now, starting from that passage, let's go to Luke chapter 16. Luke 16, I'm going to take it off from verse 1, and I'm going to go through to about verse 13 of Luke chapter 16. This is what the Word of God talks about here. He says, and he said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. Remember, steward are required to be what? Faithful. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. In other words, he was not what? Faithful. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. You're no longer going to be my steward because I'm hearing a lot of noise that you are not doing the right things. Are you with me so far? Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do. That when I am put out of the stewardship, when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. Are you with me? Oh, glory to God. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Is he demonstrating faithfulness? No. Okay. We're good. Then he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. That is 80. You owe 100, write 80, quickly. And this is where it gets confusing. This is where I say the Lord became sarcastic. He says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward, the unfaithful steward, because he had done what? Wisely. What? Who's telling this story? The Lord. And then he says, this is striking, for the children of this world are in their generation, wiser than the children of light. Excuse me? The guy is a cheat. What are you talking about? Why are you saying the guy is wiser than the children of light? In their generation. Don't forget that. In their generation. And I say unto you, oh, now it gets really hot. Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. Excuse me? That when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. This cannot be in the Bible. This is a mess up. What are you talking about? You mean you're congratulating this crazy guy that is a cheat? He's unfaithful, and what you require is faithfulness. Hold your horses. He's been sarcastic. What is he saying? He is simply saying, listen. Stop fooling around. You say, I don't get it. What do you mean, stop fooling around? He's saying, if you are not going to be faithful, stay there. You are going to be invited into the everlasting habitation. He didn't tell you his everlasting habitations. All liars end up in the lake of fire. So if you stop saying that you're a Christian and that you're a giver and that you are this and that you are that and you are not doing the thing that God says you should do. He says, stop fooling around. If you're going to live in sin, just live in sin. If you are going to live as a cheat and you don't want to change, just be that. And know that you're going to end up somewhere. Don't be lukewarm. You getting it? He's not supporting the guy. He's just saying, the guy thinks he's so smart. But he's going to end up somewhere. Listen, the people that and things that you place your trust in, these guys that are willing to change the record, they are not going to receive him into anything. Because if you are not faithful in taking care of somebody else's stuff, how am I going to trust you to take care of my stuff? Then see the flip side, verse 10. He that is faithful. Remember, it is required that a steward be what? Faithful. Was this man faithful? No. But he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in what is much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So he was not supporting the guy. He was just saying, stop fooling around. Take a stand. Where do you stand? What should that unfaithful, unjust steward, what should he have done? What he should have done is fall in front of his master and say, I have messed up. I am sorry. What they said is true. I am so sorry. I will never do it again. He might get a demotion. He might get whatever, but he has repented, and the master might watch him more closely to make sure that he's making a report of his account steadily and restore him, because there was something good about him before he gave him that position. And the fact that he has become so cunning and conniving shows that he's one who wants to self-preserve, which means that he's not willing to sacrifice. The Lord says, if you're faithful in that which is little, you're going to be faithful in much. Verse 11, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous, what? Mammon. If you've not been faithful in just stuff, who will commit to your trust the true riches? You see why I said he was not really supporting the guy? He's talking about true riches. He says, "You, how am I going to trust you with my anointing if I cannot trust you with money? If I cannot trust you with material stuff, if I cannot trust you to be faithful in just little stuff, am I going to trust you with greater things?" Here we are. We want more anointing. We want more power. We want this and what, you know. Power, they say, corrupts it, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yeah? And if you are not willing to work it out with just natural stuff, God says, how can I trust you with greater stuff? With what true riches are? I want to trust you with greater stuff. And it starts with how you steward what I have placed in your care. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, what belongs to somebody else, who shall give you that which is your own? You've not taken care of somebody else's. Make sure that whatever it is that they've put in your care is taken care of. He says, who's going to give you yours? Not me. If you get something when you've not been faithful, God did not give it. You have to be absolute, resolute in your commitment to be a blessing so that the blessing can continue in you and with you. It says, take care of that man's business, protect their interests, and then I'll protect yours. I'll provide for you. The other day I was listening to a dear woman of God, Joyce Myers, and she tells a story about before she started her ministry in a Bible study setting. She said, I was working for this particular company, and one day my boss calls me in and says, I need you to cook the books here. We owe these people such an amount, and I want you to make it like we don't owe them that much. He said, I came back to my boss. And I told him, I cannot do that. I cannot tell a lie and rip somebody else off. He says, the man threw his papers all over the place and he's upset. You know, she thought, my goose is cooked, I'm going to be fired. You know, but that's not what happened. He was upset and said, get out of my office. Get out of my office right now. So she left. He said, well, do you know it? Even though she was not qualified for positions that she finally gets promoted into, this man kept on promoting her until she was running everybody with their multiple degrees. She was in charge. It started by not compromising the truth. Even if that boss really meant for her to cheat, by her demonstration that she was faithful, she got promoted. I can trust her. I can, even though she faced being thrown out of this company and she had nothing else, she didn't have the education to go somewhere else and make better money, he trusted her. Trust. And what God looks at when he looks at us is, can I trust you? Can I trust you? Will you steward what I have placed in your hand? When God looks at me as a pastor, he looks at me and says, can I trust you? Can I trust you with the resources of the people? Can I trust you to do the right thing? Can I trust you? You see, when I'm doing anything when it comes to the household, I bargain not because I don't have what it takes, but I make sure that I want to do what God wants to pay for that thing. What does he want to pay for it? If that's not what he wants to pay for it, we're not doing it. Hallelujah. God has to trust you to handle resources. Trust you to handle the finances he gives to you. That you will do the right thing with it. That if he puts something in your hand, that you will work it out in a way that's going to glorify him. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? What does God have in his mind? He wants you to have on your mind what he has on his mind, that you become a landlord, that you become an owner. And if you're going to be an owner, then he wants you to take ownership of what belongs to somebody else and make sure that you take care of it, that you take care of your own. If you go and you rent a vehicle, don't drive it like the world is going to end and wreck it. Don't care for it. If you're renting a house, don't abuse the house. If you want someday to own your own house, take care of another person's house. If you one day want to own a business, take care of another person's business. It is all about God wanting to promote you. And every day is an experience in working towards that greater purpose. Amen? Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. I asked a question this morning. I said, if you were the pastor of a church and you gave to that church like you're giving right now, how long would that church survive? How long will it be around? If you have something that you want to do, how much are you giving sacrificially to make it happen? I thank God, for example, and these messages are not because we have a project that we're trying to do. please get that out of your mind. That's not what this is all about. But for example, the project that we're embarking on, we threw out a figure out there, and this is what we're going to be doing, this is how much it's going to cost to do it. Well, if your very best, sacrificial best is $100, it is accepted of God. And God says, you have given more than everybody else. But all you gave was $100. But if God sees that you have been entrusted and you can give 500, but you give him 50, he looks at it and says, what nonsense is this? It will add to whatever it is, but there's no reward in that. You've not been faithful in that which is least. Well, some other person is going to take care of it. You know what happens? As you mete out to others, so shall it be meted back to you. When you are in a need, people become uninterested. And somebody else has a need, and they're all jumping there and helping that person. But I had a need. I have a need too. You're not concerned about other people's need. Why should they be concerned about yours? Do you understand that God leads people? He does. So if you want God to lead people to bring into your life, bring into your bosom, shall men give unto your bosom, you got to take care of that little unrighteous mammon and understand that it does not control you. You control it. Money becomes a tool. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The next verse says, verse 13, it says, no servant, watch this now, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve what? God and mammon. What is it saying? You see, when you think about the word serving God or mammon, he's saying this. You cannot have God be Lord over your life and mammon be Lord over your life. You choose. Because the one that is Lord over your life is the one you're going to serve. Yes? So, if you're going to serve God, serve God. If you want to serve mammon, go ahead. Know where the end result of this one is and the end result of that is. It is everlasting habitations. Well, which everlasting habitation? You know, Revelation 21:8, and don't go berserk on me here. You know, Revelation 21:8 ends up, it says, and all liars. All liars, every form of lying ends up in the lake of fire. Even lying. And God is calling every one of us to a place of responsibility, to be faithful stewards. It is required. It's a requirement that you be a faithful steward. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we just ended up there in Luke 16 and verse 13 about you cannot serve God and mammon. What does Matthew chapter 6 say? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24 starts out same exact way. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The greatest, are you listening? The greatest force that will bring destruction to people. It's Mammon. Mammon. If you do not master Mammon, so that Mammon serves you and is not Lord over you. If you don't do that, your goose is cooked. Do you remember the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord is tempted, and he's told to turn stone to bread. Yeah? Okay. What did he say? It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Is that what he said? Give me that passage. Now I want you to see what's going to happen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Matthew 6 is talking about Mammon. Jesus starts here in Matthew chapter 4. But let's read further and see the temptation of the Lord. It says, then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Check out what the last temptation was. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Are you with me? And says unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The Lord Jesus Christ said about that man, when you fall, is that not what we read in Luke? When you fall, that you'll be invited into the everlasting habitations. If thou wilt fall down and worship me, worship what? Worship me for the mammon. All this stuff, I'm going to give it all to you if you just fall down and worship me. Then said the Lord unto him, get thee hence, what? Satan, adversary. For it is written, thou shalt do what? Worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Him only shalt thou serve. You and your mammon, you serve me. I don't serve you. Praise the Lord. Your money is to serve you. The resources are to serve you. Not you serving it. If you have a business and all you're doing is servicing the business, you got issues. Your business should be servicing you. That doesn't mean that you don't work. You work, but you have control over every detail of it. And you're not working for money. Money is meant to work for you. Praise God. Verse 11, then the devil did what? Leave at him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. When did the angels come to minister unto him? When he had control over Mammon. They didn't come to minister unto him in stage one, in stage two, in stage three, where the enemy comes and offers him everything. Says, I'll give it all to you if you fall down and worship me. And Jesus says, no, you got this backwards. You serve me, not me serving you. Then the angels came and ministered unto him. And the Bible says he returned back with power. Praise the Lord. Because now he can be trusted with the true riches. The anointing, the increase of the anointing on my life, on your life, is connected to how we're going to handle material things. That which is in our control. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So Matthew 6, 24. What I have to share with us tonight is much, but I'm going to have to cut it somewhere. He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. 25. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee. No, Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Back to Matthew 6. 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Don't focus on your life so much. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? What happens when we are not sold out as stewards unto God? It's about those two things. What am I going to wear? What am I going to drive? What am I going to eat? It's all about me, myself, and I. Let me take you out of the Matthew passage. You know this Matthew passage very well. Let me take you to the Luke rendition of this same aspect. Take me to Luke chapter 12. I'm going to take it up from verse 22, and I'm going to go as fast as I can with this here. He says, and he said to his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. These are even unclean birds. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. God takes care of ravens that are not clean birds. I won't take care of them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? In other words, God is saying, if I take care of everybody else, don't you think I'm going to take care of you? Let's go on. And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? That's 18 inches. Well, if you can walk on an 18-inch heel, okay. Hallelujah. If you then be not able to do that which is least, add to your stature. That's basically what he's saying. If you can't add to your stature that which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, if God clothes the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? What you're concerning yourself with is about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drive. He says, if I'm taking care of this, why don't you think I will take care of you, O ye of little faith? Just trust me. You're not going to be out of. You're going to be taken care of. He says, and seek not what ye shall eat. Don't seek that. Or what ye shall drink. Neither be ye of doubtful mind. What is God the Lord saying to us? When we are serving mammon, we become people that have a doubtful mind. And a double-minded person should not expect to receive anything from God. So when we are not givers, don't expect to receive from God. In fact, if you are receiving when you are doing the wrong thing, it is the devil. He's snaring you. This is a trap. Don't crucify me on this, but I didn't do it, but this is what little kids used to do growing up. You know, right here in North America, when you want chicken, you go to Safeway, you go to IGA, you go to whatever store, and it's already killed for you. Where I grew up, it was not so then. Now, yeah, it's the same now. But then, you had to catch your own chicken. Hallelujah. And if you didn't want to skin your knees, you had a plan. And this was the plan. We have, you know, you have maize, corn, and you wrap the husk of what do you call the cover of the leaves that cover corn? Husk? That's what you call it? Okay, husk. All right. So you make a cone out of that husk, and then you put some kind of wooden piece to hold it together, so it forms a cone, and then you put maize, corn, and you just put it, and the hen or the cock or whatever start, and it comes and it sees it inside that cone that you created from the husk, and sticks his head in there trying to get the corn, and now its face is covered, it doesn't see you coming, and you grab it. Hello? Well, that's what happens. The devil sets traps. You think, oh yeah, I'm getting away with it. Until you get yourself into a snare, and now you're caught. You're entrapped. God says, all those things do the nations of the world seek after. That's what they seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows that you need the clothing. He knows that you need the shoe and the car and the house and the whatever. He knows that you need those things. It's not that he doesn't know and is trying to take it away from you. No, he knows that you need those things. And he says, next verse, but rather, God who knows that you need all those things, he says, rather seek ye what? The kingdom of God. And all these things shall be what? Added unto you. Rather than you struggling and fighting to go get that house, get that car, get this and get that and get this. I want some Gucci's. God doesn't mind you having designer clothes. Who cares about that? He's got better than that. But he says, don't live your life just to go get that. Let that find you. God will add it to you. Amen? But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. The kingdom of God is the reign of God, the authority of God operating in your life. He says, I'm going to give you the kingdom. The devil says, I show you the nations and the kingdoms of the world. I'm going to give it to you. You just fall down and I'll give it to you. Jesus says, no, don't do that. Seek my kingdom purposes and I'll give it to you. I'll add it to you. Oh my. This gets really interesting now. Look at what he says. Sell that ye have. To do what? And give alms. You want me to sell stuff to give? Yeah, if that's what you need to do. That's what he says. If that's what you need to do, sell stuff and give. By so doing, he says, you provide yourselves bags which wax not old. You provide yourselves what? A bag. bags, which don't wax old. They always stay proper. A treasure in the heavens that what? Faileth not. Because now, even if I have to sell something to give, I'm doing it right now. I'm going to have treasures in heaven that fail not, where no thief approacheth. Thieves don't approach. They cannot approach it. Neither moth corrupted. Watch this. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So if your treasure is in the kingdom of God, where the thief cannot come and corruption cannot come, because you're a giver, then your heart cannot be corrupted. Your heart cannot be stolen. Hello? Are we together? Or I'm struggling with my faith. There's an antidote. Sell yourself off to God. When you sold out and you are addicted to the house of God, to the purposes of God, the enemy has no way to approach. There's a highway that the enemy cannot come onto. Amen? And it's connected to your giving, to your sacrificial living. Praise the Lord. Are we together? 35. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. What? What is he talking about? Let your loins be girded about. What is it saying? It's talking about truth. Let your loins be girded about. Have the belt of truth. Amen? Not lies. Truth. The first people that died in the New Testament died because of lying. And their lying had to do with their giving. Hello? God's saying, gird yourself with truth. And your light's burning. What is your light about? Your light is your focus on the kingdom of God and feeding the flames of the kingdom so that you are shining brightly, a light to the world. Amen? Your light's bright. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord. Men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding. Watch this. That when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. When your Lord comes and knocks, you open to him immediately. Watch this. It's coming. He's leading. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself, that's the master now, shall gird himself and make them that have been waiting for him to sit down to meat and will come forth and do what? Serve them. God will come and serve you. You say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. What is the text of the message? What is the context about not serving mammon, serving God, trusting God? And how you trust in God? You're trusting God in your seeking the purposes of the kingdom of God first in your giving. It says, I will come and I will serve you. God, come serve me. I'm supposed to be serving him. God says, I'm going to come serve you. Oh, Next verse. And if he shall come in the second watch, this reminds me of the book of Ecclesiastes. It says, sow in the morning and sow in the evening. You don't know which one is going to come out. So God is basically saying, just stay faithful. You don't know whether it's going to come in the first watch or second watch or come in the third watch. You don't know. And find them so blessed are those servants who remain faithful. Well, nothing happened. I was given. Nothing happened. I was given second time. Nothing happened. He said, you don't know which one or when he's going to show up to come and serve you. You don't know. So just stay faithful. It is required that a steward be found what? Faithful. You get it? You hear the heartbeat of God? Amen? Listen, I made a promise and a commitment to the Lord. Taught me many years ago. He said to me, he said, I was in a service like this, ministering the word. He said to me, he said, don't turn these stones into bread. I said, Lord, what are you saying to me? He said, you heard me. Don't turn these stones into bread. I said, what stones are you talking about? He said, these people. They are my living stones. They are not your source. If you know why I preach the word of God the way I preach, it is that I know who my source is. Do you know how many people have threatened through the years, if you just do this, we'll do this? Excuse me, don't let that door hit you where God split you as you leave. I'm not going to compromise the word of God. Why am I going to do that? You don't have a habitation for me that I want to go to. I want the habitations of the Lord. Amen? So, sometimes people, if you go to a church and all you hear, makes you happy all the time, get out. Well, when you hear the word of God and it's smacking you left, right, and center, and you just want to throw a stone at that pastor, sit down there, listen. It's about your soul. Amen? Hallelujah. I love you. I love me. Hallelujah. Because your vote is not going to get me into heaven. I know that. Hallelujah. Only God decides that. And I want to live my life to honor him. And I'm not saying that I don't mess up. Oh, my Lord. If it were not for the grace of God. But God is gracious enough to sustain and keep. And I do not practice messing up. I practice walking uprightly before him. You know, when I go to sleep, it's like in seconds. Do you understand? And when I sleep for 2 hours or 3 hours, it's like I've slept for 8 hours. Praise the Lord. Because I'm not carrying anybody's worries with me. He said, cast all your burdens and your cares. So why am I going to do that? Amen? Hallelujah. So stop worrying. Just rest in the goodness of God. Because if you place faith in natural things, then you should expect those natural things to save you. And I tell you what, it won't. It's a mirage. You're always looking at it. Oh, there's water over there. There's water over there. And you keep on pursuing it. And it's nothing real. You want real stuff? Connect with God. And all he's saying to you and I is, I require you to be faithful. That's what I require. and I'm going to show myself strong in your life. I'm going to be the blessing that cannot be stopped. Amen? So tonight, let us receive of the goodness of the Lord and celebrate his faithfulness. For he's a God who cares deeply about everything that concerns us. Blessed be the holy name of the Most High. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight, I want to give us an opportunity to talk to the Lord ourselves. And what I want you to talk to the Lord about is, first of all, if you've not been faithful in honoring God in that which God has commissioned into your hands, then talk to the Lord about that right now and just say, God, I repent of this, and I've been an unfaithful steward, and I want that to change henceforth. I need your help. He gives grace to every one of us to be faithful in what he's called us to do. And as we seek him with all of our heart, he will honor our faith and bless us exceedingly. Amen? Just take a quick moment and just talk to the Lord to reveal to you those areas where you have not demonstrated faithfulness, where you've not sought first the kingdom of God, and you want that to change. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for your grace and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, that every area, the lives of your people, is now sanitized and sanctified so that grace abounding establishes your people in their giving. Let all unfaithfulness cease from our lives. Repent, O God, of any act of unfaithfulness. Protect our interests and help us live for you in a way that glorifies you forever, Father. In Jesus' name, praise. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. If you have not honored God yet this evening with your giving, I give you the opportunity right now to do so. Just come and release in faith and by faith that which God has placed in your hand. And always give that which is meaningful to you, that which counts. Because the reality is this, that's an offering, and God can accept your offering or reject it. And the first declarations of offerings that we have in the Word is God accepting one offering and rejecting the other. Yeah? It's an offer. I accept your offer. I reject your offer. And he said to the one that was bringing the wrong one, says, there is danger. Fix it. Because if you don't fix it, you're going to kill your brother. Remember that? The first murder took place because of an offering. Wow! I'm willing to sacrifice somebody else's blood. So what we're talking about here is real stuff. Amen? Because this is the bedrock, the seat, the foundation of your relationship with God. God gave so that you can be saved. And you becoming a partner with God in giving brings about the salvation of many. The other day we did a broadcast from here through a television station. I must have ministered for about 18 minutes or so. There were two other speakers, another man and another woman. And we ministered for about an hour. At the end of that hour, the station had received 21,000 plus calls for salvation, for miracles, things that have happened. Guess why it happened? It happened, yes, because of the anointing, but it also happened because of resources to make it possible for that particular station to have the voice to reach out to 182 nations. You with me? 182 nations. And that broadcast is going to be repeated again. And when I heard the report, I asked the team, I said, did I hear right? Did the person just say it's such and such and such an amount? I said, wow, look at the result. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen? So lives are being changed. And these people are getting saved in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Iran, in the Middle East. Praise the Lord. Right behind their doors, the word of God is reaching them. Hallelujah. And they come into salvation. Praise God. God said, open doors when the doors are shut. But I'm looking forward to open doors that open of their own accord. That's the next stage. And I'm heading to the Philippines. Amen. I'm going to be there. Praise the Lord. For all I know, there are people listening right now from the Philippines. I might get home and find a text message. When are you coming? Hold your horses. It's going to happen soon. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Well, let's have the promo for the next conference starting tomorrow night. Amen. Hallelujah. 6:30. Roll it. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just rise with me. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for all that you are doing in us and with us. Thank you, Lord, that we are sold out to you, sold out to following you, and not pursuing after the world and the systems of the world. Thank you, Lord, O God, that you are blessing us and making us a blessing. And thank you, Lord, O God, that every obstacle, every challenge that is standing in the pathway of that which you want to do and accomplish in our lives, that those things are being pushed aside by the authority of your word. Lord, O God, powers are collapsing. Authorities are collapsing. Right this very moment, you are exposing the pillars of wickedness and you are breaking them down. Lord, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, we declare this day, Lord, O God, that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. And Lord, O God, it will not be compromised. Lord, O God, the world is opening up to us right this very moment. Lord, O God, systems that have tried to shut us down are falling apart. We thank you, Lord, O God, for access into your presence and access to the rest of the world, virtually and in person. And thank you, Lord, O God, for technology that is speedily being put in place in practical ways so that, Lord, O God, we can be in different places all at the same time. I declare by the authority of your word that the holograms that need to be put in place are in place now. And Lord, oh God, that we have the resources to lay hold of them and claim them and use them. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Yes, I've been hearing the Lord talking about holograms again. You know, about 30-something years ago, he said to me, he said, the day is coming when you're going to be in one place, but you're going to be in different places all at the same time. I said, how is that possible? He said, from here, from where you are, the message is going to go, and by holographic technology, you are going to be physically, it will look like you physically, not watching you on the screen. It's like you are physically in that particular place. Hallelujah. Speaking right in that particular platform. So, whoa. And again, the Lord said a few days ago, he started talking to me again about holograms. And when I was started praying now, the Spirit of God quickened it inside of me. So I'm looking forward for that technology to come into the marketplace. And as soon as it hits the marketplace, we should be ready to take a hold of it and do what we need to do with it so that we are everywhere we can possibly be. Amen? Praise God. God bless you richly. I really appreciate you, love you, and thank God for you. May the name of the Lord be exalted in your lives. Amen? Praise God. Pastor Choice, I'd like to see you briefly.